When I was growing up at home, the tradition in our family was that we would spend Christmas Eve with my grandparents, and then we would go to downtown Denver, where in those days the merchants had windows that were animated and decorated for Christmas, and we'd wander around downtown. And then we would come home, and before we all went to bed, because we were too young to go to midnight mass, Dad would turn all the lights off, we'd sit around the Christmas tree, and he would read this gospel to us. That was the tradition in my family until I got old enough to do it with my own children. Tradition. Tradition. It's an important part of our lives, and we don't really think about it very much. We just kind of do it. Father Joachim and Father Reginald and I, sometime this afternoon, we'll have dinner together, and then we're going to go to a movie this afternoon because we've always done that, or at least for the last 2 years. Didn't I tell you not to bring your toys with you? It's okay. I've been able to say Christmas Day Mass since I became a priest, and it's a wonderful tradition because I love the Gospels, I love the people who are coming, I love to see the families all dressed up, I love to see people who are coming home to see their families for the holidays. Those are the important things that I think we need to focus on when we have a holiday like this, because if we focus on the things that are going on around us in the world, we don't want to get out of bed. Sometimes. Tradition. Our church is steeped in tradition. It's steeped in the process of Jesus Christ, the second person in the Trinity, coming to earth and intervening in human history. But the thing of it is that you don't divide the Trinity. You get them all the time. When the Son shows up, the Father and the Spirit are there. Moses, speaking to the bush, I am who am. Jesus, speaking, I am. We forget that. We forget that this is a package deal, that God, the triune God, came to earth and intervened in our history. He loved us so much that in order to restore the balance after the fall, after our disobedience and pride, he sent his Son. He himself, God, the triune God, came to be among us as an infant. Last night I had the pleasure and fun of doing the children's mass, and the kids were sitting around here, and I said, does anybody here have a birthday? You'd be amazed how many people didn't raise their hands. So I asked the question again. I said, does anybody here not have a birthday? And a few more kids raised their hand. Actually, some of the adults did too. And then I asked it a third time. I said, does anybody here have a birthday? They finally got it. Yeah, we all have birthdays. And I said, well, Jesus Christ was your age. He was 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. He skipped 7 because it was a bad year. And then he was 8 and 9 and 10, 11, 12. And then I asked the kids, don't you want to be like Jesus? And one of the kids sitting over here said, I don't want to die on a cross. I said, we're not talking about the adults. We're talking about Jesus as a kid. Oh. Well, yeah, we want to be like Jesus. Okay, good. And then I talked about Jesus at 12. Is anybody here at 12? Do we have any kids who are 12? Is there one over here? Don't listen to this, okay? Jesus ran away when he was 12. He raised his eyebrows. Is that a reaction? Pretty much, yeah. So we spent some time talking about wanting to be like Jesus, and I said, that's the deal. If we spend each morning thinking a little bit about how can I be more like Jesus, what a difference our world would be. What a difference it would make if each of us thought, I want to be like Jesus, just a little bit. We'll never reach perfection. But that's the whole point of this process. Jesus Christ become human, an infant, and all the things that infants do, and then they grow up. I can just imagine conversations between Joseph and Mary at the table, drinking coffee after Jesus goes to bed. What are we going to do with this kid? I don't know, Mary, he's your kid. Tradition. After he came back from Jerusalem when he was 12, he grew in wisdom and understanding. Those 18 years where we don't know what Jesus was doing, he was becoming man. He listened to his parents. He listened to his mother. He learned a trade under Joseph. I have this image of Jesus coming to Joseph after Joseph gave him an assignment. I want you to build a table. And bringing the table to Joseph and saying, well, what do you think, Dad? And Joseph, that leg's a little long. Can you fit? Sure. Because the truth is that he was truly human, fully human, and so he experienced all the things that we experience. And once he grew into adulthood, he continued to experience those things. He was hungry, he was tired, he was frustrated. If you knew Peter, you'd be frustrated too. But he was always on mission. He always knew what he was about. He knew what was going on. And part of the tradition here that we have to understand is that as important as this day is all by itself, the birth intervention of God in human history, attended by signs and wonders and miracles and joyous angels singing glory to God, it stands alone as an awesome event, but it only stands as the beginning of so many other things that came about. Because Jesus, as an adult, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, showing us what it meant to love God, neighbor, and self, showing us step by step what it means to love God differently, to be a child of God, to be a son and daughter of God, loved by God, lifted up by God, protected by God. He showed us what that looked like. The last thing that Mary says in Scripture that we know of is at the wedding feast at Cana. She says to the steward and to us, do what he tells you. Pretty straightforward there, right? That's it. That's the nut in all of Scripture. Do what the Son of God tells you. Simple, right? Yeah, we could do that. But only if we invest our time and energy and spirits in this idea of trying to be more like Jesus Christ. Because that's the challenge. We get locked up and wound up in our daily affairs and our events and the world around us, and we forget that tradition says we should pray. Tradition says we should sit down with God and talk to God and tell God what it is we want in our lives. I would offer to you that if we did that more often, the world would be different. Maybe not on a grand scale, but in our own lives it would be different. We would probably find more peace, more serenity, more understanding, maybe. So that's what I offer today. But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus continued on his path. The gift that he gives us in the upper room, the same Jesus that was in the upper room will be here today. in the bread and wine become his body and blood. And then the time in the garden when he and the Father are having this conversation. You know, Dad, if you have a plan B, this would be a really good time to bring it out. And then the most profound words, not my will, but yours. Because he again shows us what we're called to do. Subsume our will to God's. To seek out what that is and then live it out in our lives. And so he did. That moment on the cross, he loved the Father so much that he died for us, for our sins. And the Father loved his Son so much that 3 days later he brought him back. Can you imagine the resurrection? Brighter than 10,000 suns? Wow. But that's the package. It starts here with the birth of an innocent child, and it ends here in the resurrection of the Son of God, who saved us, who redeemed us from our fall. And that's the importance of today, is that it begins this journey that we are all called to live, to become more and more like Jesus Christ, become more and more loving, become more and more involved in scripture, in prayer, in ministry. He shows us what to do. He shows us what to do. So, in closing, I have a tradition, and it's been 3 years, and so now it'll be four. This is what it's really all about.
An hour in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
It is about our children who are our hope. It's about us, because we too are our hope. Merry Christmas.